So we started last week with my advice to Christians. This Sunday we'll continue with my advice to parents. Next Sunday is my advice to either young men or young women, I can't remember. Then the last one will be the other sex, whichever one I do. So don't miss any of them. Even if you're not a parent now, you will learn something because you will still be a parent somehow. And, you know, even if you don't parent directly, all of us still parent indirectly. Hallelujah. So today is my advice to parents. How many parents are in the house today? If you're already a parent, can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? All right. Praise God. God bless you. If you're already married, I hope you raised your hand. You're a parent. Maybe you call your wife my baby. You're a parent. Hallelujah. But you're a parent to be. All right. For me, this is something really I'm really passionate about because I kind of noticed that you know, parenting is not as strong as it used to be years back. Today, there's so much slackness as regards parenting. So it's something I'm really passionate and burdened about because it is families that build the society. It is families. Every person causing us trouble today as a nation, he came from a family. If they had trained him well, he wouldn't be disturbing all of us. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? The family is supposed to be the first point where people are trained and developed. It's the first point of call. Everybody belongs to a family. You might not go to a school, but you must belong to a family. You might not go to a church, but you must belong to a family. So it is crucial. It is important. So please, I need you to also catch the passion for what we are discussing today. It is very, very important. It shapes the society. All right? Parenting will affect everything. Second thing I need to say is that I want to challenge parents to become more deliberate. I discovered also that parents are not deliberate. They are just living. They are not actually deliberate about molding their children. If you are married or planning to marry or you already have kids, you must become deliberate. There's a difference between just living with your children and actually parenting them. There's a difference. You can just be living with your kids and be living your life. You know, yes, you pay their school fees, you do basic things. It's different from being deliberate. Is somebody get what I'm saying? There's a difference. When you are deliberate, you are actually conscious of what you are doing, and you are doing it systematically. That's the difference. When you are deliberate, you're actually conscious of what you're doing. You are conscious that you are parenting these people, and you are doing it systematically. Please, let's be deliberate about raising the next generation. Let's be deliberate about parenting. Hallelujah. Very important, guys. The church cannot raise your kids for you. They can assist, but it's not their principal responsibility. The school is not the school's principal responsibility to train your kids for you or to parent your kids for you or to raise your kids for you. They can contribute. If you're a parent, it is your responsibility, so you have to be deliberate. It is a deliberate, conscious thing. How do I know some people are not deliberate? It's very easy. When you see the character of some kids, you know that nobody is actually parenting this one. He's just living with some adults. These kids are living with adults, but they are not being consciously parented. They are not being consciously trained. When you see, how many of you have seen obese kids before? Kids that are overweight. Where is the parent? I mean, do you need anyone to tell you that being overweight is not healthy? And in this age, everybody knows that if you're overweight, it's a health risk. So where is the father and the mother of that 3-year-old, 10-year-old that is like this thing? Where is the father and the mother? They are joking. They are deliberate about it. It's just kids living with adults. No systematic parenting going on. What are you looking at? Say it's a statue. What? must be deliberate.
See, let me tell you, something as small as even allowing your baby suck. Sucking is usually tied to not feeding the right time. Nobody just suck for nothing. Check it. So, and even when the habit, even if it's something else that causes it, you can break the habit. Be conscious about breaking it. Don't leave it. You see, the point is that if you are not deliberate about parenting, whatever that child picks up will affect. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It will affect the child. There is a consequence. It's not just let her leave him. In our families, it's a big deal that you suck. No. We don't even want that. We don't even use pacifier. We don't want. Because those things, as they fall, it picks up jams, different things. Just be normal. Do your mouth normal. Don't have to do it. You will learn. See, your natural inclination, like I told you throughout this month, one thing I'll be telling you is that there's a difference between how you feel and what is right. You might feel like something is differentiated from what you need to do. You will hear that throughout the theme of this month. That, and this is where many people fail. Hope you know that sometimes if a child sucks, it can affect their teeth. Hope you know. Or most people you see with braces, they suck, you know. Most people that you see with braces at old age, they were sucking and they were pushing their teeth and their teeth was coming out. It has consequences. What I'm saying is that's more sucking. Let them leave it. Cuckoo, Junior. There is consequence. You are already affecting that child negatively by being a weak parent. Because that teeth will grow. If you come out more than normal, then you use braces to be tying it back as adults. What you refuse to take care of as a child is, you can't run from consequences. You can only postpone it. But you can't run from it. It's a good point to clap, my brother. Clap, clap. Some of you are just watching like film. That's a good point. You can't run from consequences, sir. So, the child who's talking like this to come out and use braces, and first of all, braces are expensive. When I hear the price, I don't know how much it is, but from what I heard the price, I said, why? No, you can't suck, Junior. Junior, I will slap your hand. You cannot suck. No way. Be deliberate. That's the point. It's different from children living with adults. It's different from parenting. Parenting is conscious and systematic. You actually know what you're doing. You are consciously programming something to that child that will help the child grow. How many of you know Serena Williams and Vanessa Williams? Their parents from beginning found their strength, began to train them from, most of you have seen the videos, Abby. They were training them to become champions from childhood. Do you, see, that's parenting right there. That's parenting right there. Somebody from childhood, can you play tennis? From childhood, her mates might be going to class. They say, yo, it's not class. You are tennis. In my estate where I used to play, I put a video on my Instagram page one time. One child during school hours, because in the morning I was off that day. I went to play tennis in the morning. One child during school hours was playing tennis. The mother was there. I said, what's happening? They said he's going for a tournament outside Nigeria. So they are homeschooling him, but during the day he has to play tennis. You know, to normal people say, no, let him go to school. At this day and age, you don't understand that education has passed that level. They were doing the right thing. They didn't stop him from school. They said they will homeschool him later in the evening or whatever. But this training has to happen in the morning because he's going for a tournament outside. Now, yesterday here was women tennis open, US Open women final tennis. The girl that won was 19 or 20 years old. About 19 or 20 years old, the girl that won, Osaka. The prize money, sit down well. The prize money for one tournament that this girl won, $3.8 million. 20 years old. She started playing early. That's parenting right there. $3.8 million, sir. There are some bankers that in their full life, full career, will not put that together in one place. Am I correct, sir? There are some people that have gone to school that will never see that money. If you calculate all the money they see in their whole life, it will amount to $3.8 million. So in this day and age, you are still talking this thing you are talking. Be deliberate, sir. Anything my children like, you like baseball? Try. You like soccer? Move. Leave this mathematics and English. Somebody can be calculating your money for you if your money is plenty enough. Let me try and move quickly because I have a lot of points. So the point is, be deliberate. That's the key word. Be deliberate about your parenting. You are single now, you want to date. Those are some of the important things you look out for in a spouse. How deliberate they can be about raising the kids. Life should be an improvement on it in each generation. Not that the things you went through, you suffer so much, your children now come and suffer more than you. What's the use of your coming? You should pave the way for them. And by paving the way, I don't mean just giving them money, because that's what Africans think. That's what's killing our politics. People want to steal money that children will spend. And how many of those children amount to anything? Because the real thing that abuse people is not giving them things. So most of them, they give back to children that are... That you must see, personally, I don't like when somebody is flying business class and his children are flying business class. I don't like it. Let them grow. You are killing their drive. When you start from the end, you must go back. If you start from the beginning, you go forward. If you start from the end, there's only one way to go. Back. Which work has he done that is flying business class? Let him walk with it. Let him see where life really starts. There's a starting line for everybody. If you push him ahead, he will not be able to cope. My children don't fly business class. So for what? I've worked 22 years. No rest. Heavy work. Somebody get what I'm saying, sir? I have no closing time, no beginning times. Somebody called me out from America around 1 a.m. He said, sorry for waking you. I said, I was awake. I was awake. I was not asleep. So imagine, so if I'm flying business class today, in my child that has not picked up my A for Apple, it's only work he has done in his life. He won't know life. You are deceiving him. You are not giving a reality of what life is. He will grow up and be confused. Let him see where life starts from. When he walks the walk, then you must teach them consequences. Let them start where everybody's starting. I don't do that, oh. Eh? Even if I can afford it, I won't do it. Go there. Go there. When you walk, there must be something you are even aiming for in life. There must be progress you can see. Not that you just start from anywhere. Some people just kill the drive of their kids. Your job is not to make them happy. Your job is not to fulfill even their destiny. That's not you. Your job is to train them. That's the only assignment God gave you. Train up a child. Not that I don't want my child to cry. You know, some women fall into that emotional trap. I can never let my child. I like my children to cry. Cry is proof that you're making progress. You are learning something. So don't cry. Junior, don't cry. Junior, cry. If you don't cry as a child, you will cry as an adult. Cry now as a child. Your job is not to stop your child from crying. Your job is to train your child. Proverbs 22 verse 6. It said, train up a child in the way that he should go. DJ, put it up. Say, train up a child. That is your job. Your job is not to stop them from suffering. Your job is not to stop them from challenges. No, your job is not to say, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. You know, there are people that can't stand their children crying. I can't stand it. What? It's like your child needs an injection. You know it's going to be painful, but you know it's necessary if the child is going to be well. So you dash the doctor, say, took him very well. Because that's the only way he's going to be well. So I can't stand my children crying. Then move outside. But let them cry. It's for their destiny. Your job is not to make them happy. Your job is not to make them happy. Your job is not to make them happy. Your job is to train them. That's how they even find true happiness in life. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not what? Depart from it. See your assignment here. Now, let me tell you, you are not 100% responsible for how they take the training. So, there are some kids that just won't take training. That's none of your business. As long as you are doing your training right. Leave the reaction to them, because you can't choose. You can't always determine how they will turn out. That's not really your responsibility. It's like me being a pastor. There are people I've preached to for years. I've trained them. I've pastored them for years. They still know they hear what. Nothing I can do. I'm seeing the ones that are hearing what I'm teaching and the results. I'm seeing some, they've been here for long. Old members. Nothing while I talk. Even if I collapse here, they will still do what they want to do. They will never respond. They will never yield to teaching. So that's them and God's business. Alright? So a few points. I have 11 points. I'm going to run through them quickly.
But remember, the main thing I've said is that you must be deliberate. Very deliberate. Very deliberate. Number one, the points now. The children won't outgrow you. In other words, they will constantly imitate you. Ephesians 5 says, verse 1, I think, it says, as children, as dear children, be imitators of God. What they're trying to say is that children imitate. They say children imitate. So basically, your first assignment is to be a better version of you. Even if you are single now, I'm not talking to married people alone. As you are a single person now, start improving yourself now. Your kids will leverage on who you are because they are going to imitate you. They are going to imitate you. The more knowledgeable you are, the more wise you are, the more hardworking you are, all those virtues will transfer to them. They imitate. Children imitate. They learn more from who you are than what you say. Because impartation between parents and children take place even from the womb. So before they even land here, they are already started grabbing things. By the time they land, before they can even talk, they are learning. Before they can even, they are already picking things from the atmosphere. So if you are a hater, you're a gossiper, you are a champion of unforgiveness, start improving your character because you're already impacting your kids. They will not outgrow you. You are too scattered. You are too fearful. Most times, what we call generational curses is just attitudes that are passing from generation to generation. Because once, and sometimes the devil capitalizes on those things. Because once the father operates in a certain way, he has opened the door for the same thing to flow to the children. So you need to learn this, guys. Be a better version of yourself. Whether you are single or married now, start improving yourself. Improve yourself because they will imitate you. We traveled recently. I saw some interesting things. I saw one girl. I'm sure she's about 10 or she's pretty teen. She's not even a teenager yet. She'll be around 10, 11, something like that. Her top was here. See where my hand is. Her top was here. And all here was empty. At 10, 11. When I now saw her mother, I now knew why. That one said she almost didn't have top. If that girl at 10, because this girl is imitating what she's seeing. That's what some of you must be serious with God, sir. Your children are learning. They are learning. You can't wake up as a husband. You can't wake up and go to church, but you wake up to watch match. You wake up to go to gist. You wake up to go to work. You are training already. You are training already. They will be like you. When I saw the mother of the girl, I said, sleep parenting. If the girl is this naked by now, by the time she grows up, she will not forget it. That's what I said. Train up. Train means train. Train is not talking. Train is doing. It's like you are doing with the person. That's what training is. All right. Train is not talking. So they didn't say teach a child. They say train a child. They are different, okay? Hope you understand that, guys. They didn't say teach a child the way it should go. They say train a child. So training has to do with what you two are doing and how you are living. So you can't pray. You can't even pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. As if that's an excuse. You can learn how to pray. The disciples told Jesus, teach us to pray. There's prayer school. We have prayer school. We have believers class. You've not done anyone. Well, you say, I want to grow spiritually. How? I wish to grow spiritually. No, you must do something. And I took my kids to another park. I saw one boy, 2 years old, sir. 2 years old boy. 2 years old boy. He had earring. And he had hairdo. The 2 year old, his hairdo was up. They pack it. 2 year old. He had earring. See, it's too early to be burdening children with some kind of decisions. Well, if they grow and as an adult, they want to wear earring. Oh, that's. See, you must understand that. See, what happens is that Mambu misplaced the priority. There is an age you are not supposed to be imposing your ideas. There's an age you are supposed to impose your ideas. When in the Bible, there's where the Bible says, children obey your parents, your natural parents, in everything. They were referring to children below a certain age, when you are really a child, you are not an adult. At that age, you are expected to obey your parents. Even Jesus Christ, at that age, they said he was subject to his parents. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, aka God. When he was here, he was subject to his parents at that age because he was under their care, under their tutelage. So at that age, you are supposed to impose your standards. You can't be asking them, do you want to be boy or girl? Because that's what the Western world is teaching us. I hope you know. They are saying we should not even tell children that you choose.
How? My brother, you're a boy. Just shut up. Don't even talk. At that age, you are expected to impose your ideas. But in Africa, we don't impose them. Sometimes when the child is already above 18, above 20, we want to even choose who he wants to marry. It's too late that time. Let him be making the effect of your training should be taking effect that time. Let them be making sound judgments. Don't that you want to impose who they will marry at 25, 30, 40. My mommy, see, human being, man, say my mommy does not agree at 40. They didn't train that one. Because if I'm making your decisions at 40, it defeats the whole purpose of me training you in the first place. Is somebody getting this? So that child is too early for the parents to be piercing that boy's ear. Let him grow first. I even know what earring means. Then he can choose if he wants to pierce. Let him grow. You can't start putting tattoo on him. Some of you said you have opened Instagram page for your children. For what? What is this? Let the boy or child grow. When they grow, they can decide. Don't expose them unnecessarily. The boy, 2 years old, had a ring when Anna saw his mother. She had 15. All over her face, rings. All over. Boom, 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 boom. Everywhere in her face. Then here too, she had. Boom, boom, boom. So I see. You see, what I'm saying is that they are imitating the parents that they have. These examples I gave are visible. But there are other invisible impartations taking place even in your home right now. I didn't know I use O-O-O a lot until my kids. Say here, my kids. This thing will go. I say, oh, for where? My brother. Don't try. You see, I never formally taught them to use O. They picked it up because we always use talk like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's already happening in your own house. If you guys are gossips in your house, you are raising gossips. Just know. If you guys are lazy in your house, you are raising lazy people. If you guys are not spiritual in your house, you are raising unspiritual people. It's already happening. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So they can't outgrow you. Point number two, I have to run. Wow, I've almost spent all the time on. Maybe I'll just even continue in all the services. If I don't finish in one service, I think that's what I'll do. Point number two, love your spouse. That's the best home training you can give your child. I see parents everywhere doting on their child and not spending time with their spouse. That's negative parenting right there. Your husband or wife comes first. Your children will go. They are not your permanent property. You have no covenant with your children. They will go. When they grow, they will go. When they grow, they will what? Go. The only person that has pledged to be with you till death do you part is your spouse. So you must never drop your commitment to your spouse because you have children, sir. Let the children learn. There is an age your child should be moved out of the bed that you and your husband are using. Some children are contraceptive. It's on the bed blocking action from happening. You move. Move. To your own room, or not move to the right place. If you are still nearby, you will see distract. Move to your own room.
Somebody needs to give me an honorarium for that. For that revelation right there. Hallelujah. Love your spouse. You can't be beating your wife, sir. And your children live in that house. They can sense the violence. You are training your kids. See, the impact of that is that your daughters will see beating as normal. And these are statistically stuff that are proven statistically too. That children that grow in those violent homes have a tendency to either receive or marry or also carry out violence in their marriages. Because whatever your children are seeing now is their own normal. That is what their own normal is. So they need to be seeing you kiss your wife every day. They need to see you hug your wife. They need to see you be tender to your wife. They need to see you say, I love your wife. They need to see both of you love each other, respect each other. Then, madam, you cannot be insulting your husband or shouting at your husband in the presence of your kids. In fact, anywhere, actually. Because they will pick those things. They have to learn respect from you. Even when the man is behaving crazily and stupidly, your own response needs to be right. just insult everybody. Useless man. Stupid man. Is that what your mates are doing? You don't have sense. Ah, that's bad parenting right there. Children will pick it. Oh, guy, if you are beating your wife, your daughter is thinking beating is normal, sir. You are abusing her mind. You are abusing your children's mind. Your son is thinking it's normal. He will never know how to take care of a woman. He will think we beat women. He will think it's normal to assault a woman. He will think it's normal to insult each other. My children, I want to say my children have never seen me and my wife insult ourselves. We have never even insulted ourselves. So there's no need where they can even see it. The issue is not even hiding from them. The issue is doing the right thing. Because even if they're not there physically, these things are in the atmosphere that both of you don't send yourself. I see it all the time. You hold your child's hand. You forget your wife. You just hold your child's hand. Junior, forgive Junior. Hold your mother, your wife. Or two of you hold Junior together. She's the most important person. Somebody get what I'm saying? I hope you know that marriages that struggle affect the children more than even the parents. I hope you know that, sir. If both of you are having a bad marriage, you are emotionally assaulting that child. In fact, statistically, it affects the child in school. It affects the child in school. There are many times, once a student's performance in class drops, by the time the staff investigate, they find out that the parents are quarreling at home. It has affected the child academically. So don't fake it that I don't love my husband again. I just love my children. Then you have missed the point. Go on. If you really love your children, go and love your husband. Go and be more tolerant. Go and be more patient. Same thing. If you love your children, go and love your wife. Go and be more tolerant. Go and be more patient. Is somebody learning this? How you treat your wife is the biggest step to help your kids. It affects them. Hallelujah. Number three. I like this one. All kids are different. All children are different. If you are single, be writing these things and even get this message so that it won't take you unawares. All children are different. Stop comparing them. This world has moved beyond this A for Apple, Mass English, and Econs, this thing. This world has moved beyond that. All kids are different. Stop comparing them. Some are going to be academically brilliant. Some are going to be street smart. We need both. The problem in Africa is that we will not make one start having low self-esteem because he or she is not academically brilliant as the other child, not knowing that they all have different strengths. My first daughter doesn't like academics. She's smart, of course, but you know she's not really interested in academic work. She's more street smart. So I tell my wife, this one is the one that looks like me. She behaves like me. I hate academics. I've always hated academics. From the beginning, I knew that it's not just something for me. I hate routine. I hate dull and boring teaching. I like life. Tell me about life. So my second daughter is like my wife. She likes academics. She reads everything readable. Anywhere she would just read. She likes to read things. So it doesn't mean one is better than the other. Stop trying to now compare them and say, why are you not like Junior? Why are you not like John? Why are you not like your sister? Why are you not like your brother? No! He's not like his brother because he's not his brother. They have different paths in life. That way, God has created them differently because they have different destinations. Don't pressure them to be like each other. Let them be different. We need the difference. See, there are some homes that you have a sibling that is not very academically smart, but is a fighter. And when they are fighting outside, he's the one they will call. If he comes, that fighter sets. Because that one that is academically smart, he cannot fight. They will chance him. But the other one, his head is hot. Somebody get what I'm saying? So God has a way he gives people differently. So don't try to make them be like each other. Somebody get what I'm saying, guys? Your own job as a parent is to find out what their strength is and encourage it, whatever it is. If it's sports, some people are more physical. Those are the people that will do well in sports. They are the ones that will make you proud later. Imagine this girl that won $3.8 million, one tournament. This is not her whole life. This is not this year. This is just one tournament that didn't last more than 2 weeks. $3.8 million, sir. When those girls enter those level of competition, the whole family has stopped work. They follow her everywhere because she's working. That's how they do it. The Williams sister and uncle, all their relatives are not doing any other job. They are just following them from country to country to go and play tennis to watch. Her sister, okay, your flight ticket. They are all working in under her. And she's earning enough to pay them, not to do any other job. So find their strengths and encourage it. Those days of everybody must do mass English. Those days are past now. You can't be even be falling into that trap. Our parents, it was a big temptation in their time, because truly, in their time, all you needed to make it then was academics. But the world has changed. So you to change your thinking. Don't carry archaic thinking. You must go to, listen, don't worry me now. Me, I'm looking for my kids. What is your strength? Oh? What is your strength? If there's a shorter way to this thing, why must we go a long way? What is your strength, my brother? Can you play ball? Take, score, shoot. If this thing can work, let's move on. That's why they have football academies everywhere in the world. That they've learned that, come, we can train a child from beginning to play football. That's what it's called to do. Rooney and Cole and some of the other people, they were Messi. It was football academy they went to. They didn't go to learn maths and English engineering. What? Many of the things they taught you in school, are you using them now? The frog you dissected, what are you using to do now? They just disturbed us with all those nonsense. I have never needed it. Say you need it one day. I'm still waiting. Dissect frog. What concern me? I've never need it. It's a lie that they told us. You need it one day. Which day? Now, there are some people. There are some people that will need it. It's just a small fraction of people. Not all of us. Even the mass, outside of addition, subtraction, division, multiplication. I've not needed any other thing they taught me. Simultaneous equation. How? What am I using to do now? I'm not. And there's calculator. Am I using it for anything? Algebra. Give me one other annoying math system. But you know them. Hallelujah. Very useless things, they're telling us. Now, listen, there are some people that their own profession will need that. And if you notice, those people enjoy it. They are the ones that shine in class. Let them be shining. Some other of us will shine in the field. Hallelujah. And the way God has done it, everybody is a star. If they can find their place. So our job is to help them find their place. You saw that mega star that went to do NYSC. You know he can be paying the whole camp. He's just having fun. He's a megastar. He has already gone way beyond that level. Somebody gets what I'm saying? So our job as parents is to find your child's strength and develop it. Don't say you must be a brilliant academically. It's not, it doesn't follow. In my house, I was the one voted less likely to do well. Less likely to do well. Today, I can say I'm almost the one that is most likely to do well. Now, but it wasn't so then. Everybody was better than me academically. I didn't have patience. Everybody was way better than me academically. Find their place. Don't be tempted to live through your children. Hey, this one is a big temptation. Don't be tempted to fulfill your own dreams through what? Your children. Because you wanted to be a doctor. You wrote jam you. You enter biochemistry or microbiology. So now you now swore to your grandmama, mama, that my children must read medicine. And they are not fulfilled. Those days are past that you already have pre-planned what your children will study. They will be lawyer. They will be doctor. They will be engineer. It made sense those days. It doesn't make sense now. It doesn't make sense today. Many doctors and lawyers are broke in Nigeria now. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that if that's your passion, because there must be more to why you're doing what you're doing. So as a parent, don't live through your children. Don't try to live through them. Don't try to live through them. My children must not be pastors. There's no rule. I will let them find their path. If they decide to do ministry, that's great, because there's already a platform for them to develop that. But if they have other passions, please go and do it. Don't live your own dream through your children. They must be lawyer.
So you're already instigating the boy. Say, you know you're a doctor. You know you're a doctor. No, let him tell you. His destiny is between him and God. They are the ones that will let you in. It's not you that will impose what it's going to be. You know you're a doctor. Junior, talk well. You are a doctor. Ha! You're already imposing. There are many doctors that should be footballers today. They would have played for Man City. Great clubs, Barcelona. Now they are stuck as Arsenal fans. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't live your dreams through your kids. Don't live your dreams through your kids. Don't live your dreams through your kids. Let them find their own path. Help them find it early and help them develop it. They must not be doctors. They must not be lawyers. They must not be pastor. Say, hey, the way he's doing, he's a worship leader. Are you sure? He's a pastor. Are you sure? Calm down. Don't impose those things. What you should be doing is be praying for God to reveal to him and to reveal to you where they are going. For God to order their steps. I'll talk about that a bit in the second service also. You should know how and what to be praying for your kids. There are prayers that are useful and helpful to be praying for your kids. Start praying for them now. That's what you should be doing. Don't know say you must die. You want to live out your own dream. And I will end with this, guys. Like I said, I have 11 points, so that means I will continue in the next service. Please discipline your child. I will end with that one. I'm begging you. This one, I need to beg you. Discipline your child, I beg. Children will need the discipline. They need it. Not that they like it, they need it. There's a difference. They might not like it, but they need it, and you are the only one authorized to give it. It's your responsibility to discipline. You can't let your child eat bread morning, afternoon, night. Discipline him. It's your job. You wake up in the morning, mommy, I want chocolate. And you weak mommy. You bring a chocolate, Junior, take. I don't want you to cry. My brother, cry. Because in real life, sensible people don't wake up in the morning and be eating chocolate. See, one of the greatest gifts that children have, and all human beings have it, but it's more powerful as a child, is the gift of adaptability. Most of us don't know it. The thing your child is crying for, you can actually train him to the point where he won't even like it. My kids don't drink soft drink. They don't drink Coke, Fanta, and they don't drink. We train them from beginning to not to like those things. So they don't drink. If you give my children Fanta now, they will drink halfway and they will not like it. You are adaptable. The thing you are calling sweet now, it's an acquired taste. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So most of us, we underestimate the power of adaptability in those kids. You can actually discipline and train your kids not to even watch TV. Don't make them television addicts. Don't make them phone addicts. Phone can't raise your kids for you. TV, they can, but they will raise them in a way you won't like. Because they will expose them to rubbish. They're adaptable. Discipline your child. Don't allow them to be eating in the morning if they've not had their bath. They need that discipline. It will help their destiny. When you wake up in the morning, after you do anything, you pray. Or you after that you have your bad voice, you talk about food. Some of you just wake up because you are. See, the thing's giving you problem. Help your children so that they won't give you problem. You know you are lazy. You know laziness is chasing you. Please impart some discipline to your child. Discipline. In our house, we have a tub where we keep sweets and things. We don't lock it. We train our children to know that just because you are seeing sweets and biscuits and chocolate, you can't just take it. We don't hide it. Hiding it is not good training, because the day they will see it, they will see still. Train them to see it and know that if something is not yours or you are not authorized to take it, you can't take it. Let them be seeing it and know they can't take it until you are given license. So we have a tub. Many of the things in that tub expires because they don't go there and just take it, the chocolate in the house. You go and take it. Never. You must ask, and it's programmed when you can eat the chocolate. You can't just wake up every day and eat chocolate. Nah, there is a special season where you're authorized, and there's a limit. Not just eat any amount you want. These are things our parents taught us in those days. You can't just eat any amount you want. Limits. Give the other thing later. Learning those small things like contentment, what they call that thing, delaying gratification, all those things is crucial to life, to surviving in life. The kids will raise, giving everything they want when they want it, they will fail in life because life won't give them the same thing. They will now steal or cry. They will fail in life, everything they want, and when they want it. Our kids don't watch, don't play with phone during school days. You know, most of you use phone to help them, to relieve you, that they won't disturb you. Mm-mm. Go and read a book. Go and sleep. Go and lie down. Go and think. Do anything else. Phone is not the way to raise somebody. Some of us are adults now. We are battling with the addiction of phone. You are starting your children from small. So, phone is only on weekends that they play. They watch cartoon on there. Only weekends. No school day. Eh? Even when school is on at all, they won't even allow them. Only holidays. Before that time, before then, we used to allow them to use phone morning to night. So we discovered that once they reach house, the first thing they ask is, "Mommy, can I have your phone?" Ah. So you can't be phone addict this early. So we brought new law. You are the president of your house. You are the Senate. You are the House of Rep. You and your wife. You can vote anything, pass any bill in the house as you like. Say from now, TV hours are only 2 hours a day. After 2 hours, we shut down. Don't let them grow watching TV from morning to night. Ah! Don't let them play from morning to night. Play. Because they want it. No. They don't know what they want. It's not every time you ask yourself, what do you want to eat? Tell him you will eat. Not what do you want to eat? If you ask yourself, what do you want to eat? He wants to eat chocolate morning, afternoon, night. No. My dear, you will eat swallow. He said, I don't like it. I said, it doesn't matter. Because in this life, it's not only what we like, we do. That's reality. Don't teach them a fake life that when they go outside, they'll be confused. Life, you don't always get what you want. Learn how to eat everything because you might find yourself somewhere where there's nothing else to eat. When you grow, you cannot be having preference. In my house, there's no preference. You eat anything we are eating. It helps you be versatile. Not a morning, afternoon, rice. What do you want, rice? What do you want, Junior? What do you want, Indomie? Except you are the owner of the company. Even if you are the owner, let them eat something else. Let them eat balanced diets. They might not like vegetables. Let them eat vegetables. They might like onions. Let them eat onions. All these things are useful and healthy to the body. Bread. It pains me when I see children that are fat. What are the parents doing? No discipline. Ask my wife. Once I noticed that my kids are adding small weight, I start shouting. So my first sister was looking big one time. Many people say she's not big. I say, me, I know she's overweight. It was until they took her for hospital for one checkup like that, the doctors now confirmed that this girl is overweight for her age. And this overweight I'm talking is not, most people won't see it as overweight. Oh. I'm not even talking about the giant ones. Most people won't see it as overweight, but I say it's overweight. So we cut her diet intentionally. Don't have a child in your house that eats the remnants of the other children. Hey! I've seen those things. Oh. One child, when they don't say, I'm tired, I'm full. One of them will say, bring it. Ah! No! Are you here, somebody? No! Say, use your own. It's enough. Don't eat other people's own. All those things will have consequences in their body. No! Everybody eat your own. So I told them, cut that girl's food. So now they cut her food. They also changed the diet. Put more healthy stuff. Then they started buying fruits in the house because she likes to snack a lot. It's okay to like to snack, but snack with apple. Snack with carrot. Snack with other things. Not biscuits. So we intentionally cut them. We bought her bicycle. So every afternoon, as a part of her training, she will ride bicycle around the estate. Ride to lose weight. I say, how old is she? Seven, but you learn the discipline of life. Don't you see some seven-year-old big stomach? Like, where is the father and the mother? Is what I'm asking. Where is the father and the mother watching that going on? Being overweight breeds diseases. What are you talking about? Anything they want, just give them. How can your daughter's stomach be bigger than your mother's stomach? What are you doing, Oga? And fathers, you must be more involved in the house. Fathers, you must be... See, I have to end, but let me say this. Fathers, I beg you, I call you, be more involved. You know why? The way God created a home, there are things a mother brings. It's different from what a father brings. I thought I would have time to read all the scripture. No time. There's what the Bible calls the right hand of judgment and the left hand of mercy. So a woman has the mercy. A woman has love. A woman sometimes is not the best person to also discipline a child because she's the one the child gets breast from. She's the one the child gets love from. She's the one the child gets nourishment from. It's difficult for the person that is bringing nourishment to still bring discipline. It's always difficult. It's always difficult. Go and check it. The police that is arresting you is different from the doctor that is healing you. They can't be the same person. Say, sorry here. Slap. Sorry here. Wah. The same person can't do those two things. Am I correct? The person that is saying sorry, he loves you. There's another person that comes. He still loves you, but in a different way. He's not telling you sorry. Say, wah. You know the here word. You know. Both of them are trying to help your life. But the same person can't do the two most times. So fathers, when you are not there, you are giving, you allow your mother, your wife, do the two. She can't do it well. She can't do it well. So you need to bring your authority to play. There's a part of the authority and discipline you bring that your sons and daughters need. They need to see an authority figure. It helps their life. Hallelujah. So you are the one that can say, no more this thing in this house. You can't eat this anymore. Go and sleep. And you change your face. And they know the lion has come. Go and sleep now. That's not to say women can't do it. Funny enough, in my own house, my wife is the one that is the terror. Me, I'm fun. But they know too that I can beat. Hey, I didn't have time. I want to read this. Hope you know the Bible supports beating a child. See, I will take time to the diamond. You should not worry. Let me read this. No. Quick, open your Bible. I have to read it. Don't worry. My sister, don't worry. Sit down. Let me read this thing because a lot of people have this challenge. See, you can't follow. See, God is a parent. I hope you know. What do we call God? Our Heavenly Father. You can't be a better parent than God himself now. You need to understand that the Western world, they have a portion of them that are antichrist. What this means is this. They will not come out and tell you they hate God, but the truth is that their principles and logic are directly against the principles of God. You need to know this. It's the same people that promote homosexuality. All these are clear things that the Bible has made clear that is not good, but they will come right against it. And that same thing Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Satan came to Eve and said, has God said you should not do? He told them exactly opposite. You need to know this. So the Western world will tell you, don't beat children, it will abuse them. Yes, don't abuse your child. Don't beat your child in a way that they will know that somebody has offended you from the office. And you are passing the... So that's all right. But disciplining and beating your child to a certain extent is very good. Very healthy. There are sometimes I'm talking to my children, they're not hearing. When I hold the ear, there's a calmness that comes that no other thing can achieve. I hold her ear, I say you should sit in one place. I'm smiling, but the decorum has been achieved. Now hold your hand like let me show you. So it's up to you to decide if you are going to obey God or obey your emotions, obey your feelings, or obey what the Western world wants to teach you. They don't know parenting. If you need to just watch their movies, watch their reality shows, you know that they don't have respect for their parents. It's all over. So you don't even know to check if it's working. It's not working. Every child needs to have fear. Not fear as in terror, but fear as in to know that there is order. That fear is what will help them in life when they go out. And most of these kids, you know, they you knock before you enter the room. Which room? Inside my house. My sister, how we open this door? It's different when they are grown. But the children say, knock before you enter. Your child will come and call you first name, Kingsley. How? I'll say, move nearer. Let's talk. Let me read a few scriptures. I have to run. My time is up. Sorry, but I have to read this. Let's read quickly. DJ, I need to move the fast. Proverbs chapter 13. Let's start from there. I'll be following it in series. Proverbs 13:24.
Let's read, everybody. One, two, go. Say, if you spare a rod, you don't actually, that's not love. But if you discipline them, you actually love them. Proverbs 22:15. DJ, I need to be fast. It said, foolishness, what?
Abound in the heart of a child.
It said, but the rod of what?
Correction.
Will do what?
Drive it far.
Children actually have foolishness. I don't know if you have been a child before. You stupid things. One time I went to my house. Stupid things. I cut all my parents' buttons. Their buttons from all their clothes, all their suits, all their shirt. I cut the buttons out with the razor blade and arranged it. How did I get the idea? It's foolishness. Foolishness abounds in children. It abounds in them. They say correction removes it far. Don't want to ask what they did to me that day. I cut all their buttons. Why? I don't know. It's foolishness. It abounds in every child. Quickly. Proverbs 23:13-14. Proverbs 23:13-14. He said, we told not correction from what?
The child.
For if thou beatest him with the rod, what will happen? He shall not die. That's exactly what they're trying to tell us. That if you beat him, he will not be the same again. He will not die. No, he said he shall not die. See, these things they're telling you is directly contrary to the word of God. You need to know that there's where they are going. Once they challenge this one, they will challenge other scriptures that are clear. They've already challenged man and woman marrying already. They've said man and man can marry. It's a direct challenge. You need to know this. It's not normal. He said, you will not die. Don't answer them. Look at the next verse. He said, thou shalt beat him with the rod. And do what?
Deliver his soul from hell.
Bible. This is our Heavenly Father. He's the best parent. He's the best parent. He's the one that created human beings. If they would die, he would have told us. He's the one that made human beings. The white people telling you this thing, they didn't create any human being. I don't have time. I'll talk about it in the next service. I don't have time. Proverbs 29:15-17 also. That'll be the last one, no time. It says, the rod and reproof. Do you see there are two things? So one is the rod, the other one is talking to them. The white people say only talk. No, the two go together. There are times you need to have a conversation with your child. That's true. That's why you need to try and talk to them and say, you can't do that. This is the reason why you can't do that. It's biblical. But it doesn't remove the rod. What they want to do, they want to focus only talk and remove rod. No, the two of them. He said, the rod and what?
Reproof.
There are two. Rod is inside. And you can't have two parents that are weak emotionally. You can't have two weak parents. If two of you are weak, hire a Baba Legba. A neighbor has no fear of flogging. The rod and reproof give wisdom. It gives wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. When you see those children left to themselves, you know how they are unruly. See them everywhere running about. No control, no decorum, no behavior. See, we said, let me, next verse. It says, correct thy son, and he will give you what?
Rest.
Yea, he shall give delight, what?
To thy soul.
Hallelujah. I have to stop there. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll continue the remaining points in the next service. If you want to stay, if you want to invite somebody to do that. Father, we thank you for the parents and everybody that is here today. Lord, we ask for the wisdom and the strength to parent in a way that will glorify you.